Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. What I'm going to introduce you to is a paper, and this paper was written and published in a medical journal. This paper was written by a nurse, and this nurse used these treatments on thousands of people. And she talks about others who also were involved in this and why this is a hidden secret. Let me just give you some details of this PDF, because this actually appeared in a medical journal. This is a 7-page article from the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine, Volume 18, Numbers 3 and 4, 2003. So this isn't just written by any Joe on the street. And this was published in the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine in 2003. The author of this is Lorraine C. Abbey. And the title of this article in the journal is called The Gift of Vitamin C. And what you're going to hear when I'm finished talking is you're going to hear the audio version of the entire article. I thought it would be more comfortable for people to hear it, because otherwise for them to go through this in detail, many people won't want to sit down and read this. This story is basically the story of doctors, mostly in America, who began to experiment with extreme high dosages of vitamin C. And two important people play a critical role in this. The one is the scientist who actually discovered vitamin C. That scientist, upon discovering it and starting to look at its possibilities, immediately began recommending that this thing should be used in extremely high dosages. Now, this article is not just about using vitamin C normally, the way that the Surgeon General or the British government or the American government recommend. This is about using vitamin C in exceptionally high doses. Doses that are unbelievable number of times higher than the maximums that you're supposed to even dare to take. And it goes on to talk about the kinds of things that vitamin C can do. When I went through this thing, it truly began to grab attention for me. I couldn't believe the things that were mentioned in here. And afterwards, I began to do even more research into it, and I'm going to produce a video based on that research, because it's got pieces of lectures and other things that are just absolutely stunning. And I must tell you that whenever I came across somebody lecturing about vitamin C, I noticed that people on the internet were commenting like crazy below the topic. And one person on top of another would come and tell one incredible story after the other of how vitamin C has helped them in their lives. One particular woman said that she started taking vitamin C, I think at the age of 13, and she said she was now 67 and she'd never been sick a day in her life. But the key thing in here are the extremely high doses of vitamin C. Now, when I spoke about vitamin D previously, vitamin D is different. When you take vitamin D, your body stores the vitamin D and it uses it up slowly. So you can take a vitamin D tablet once a week or once in 10 days and your body can run in between that time and it'll use the vitamin D that it stored. Vitamin C is totally different. Vitamin C is water soluble and it leaves your body within a day. So when you go to the toilet, the vitamin C is coming out. That is why it's so critical to keep using vitamin C every single day without exception. So the first really important person in this discussion about vitamin C is the scientist who discovered vitamin C. The next important person, critically important person, is a guy called Linus Pauling. And he's an American of Prussian, that is German, descent. And he got two Nobel Prizes in his life. However, to be exact and accurate, the second Nobel Prize had to do with him opposing nuclear arms proliferation. So it didn't have to do with science. But his first Nobel Prize had to do with his discoveries in chemistry. So this is a Nobel Prize winner who then also stumbled on vitamin C, and then he began dedicating himself to the study of vitamin C. And he wrote a book, and he probably popularized vitamin C more than anybody in the world. And his discoveries led to another German coming from Germany to work with him. And that German had also come across a possible use for vitamin C. And the story of vitamin C is so incredible, I'm just going to try and sum up a few points for you. Because again, I'm going to reiterate, this is the extreme high doses of vitamin C. These doses are many times higher than doctors will even attempt. These are unbelievably high levels of vitamin C. And they seem to do incredible things. Vitamin C, it appears, can cure all kinds of diseases, everything from polio to rabies. But it becomes even weirder. It seems as if vitamin C is like an antibiotic and it can kill every single virus it ever comes into contact with. Another thing about vitamin C, and this is where this German doctor from Germany came to join Linus Pauling. This German doctor, I think his name was Roth. I think he was studying heart disease. And he came to a very strange conclusion. He began to think that heart disease is related to a shortage of vitamin C, something along those lines. But it appears that vitamin C might be able to help in all kinds of illnesses, including possibly cancer. So these topics are hectic topics. You're talking some of the most hideous illnesses that you can get that doctors and scientists have been struggling with for decades. And vitamin C might be able to tackle all kinds of weird things. And according to this author in this medical journal, this author says that vitamin C is also extremely safe and that the only side effects that really come into play is diarrhea. If you take it in high enough doses, eventually you'll get diarrhea. And then you stop taking it and the diarrhea goes away. This author, I think, is British. I'm going to try to also circulate the PDF that I got that this audio comes from so that you can see it for yourself. But like I say, I'm going to do another video, and in that video, you will see various lectures. You will even see an incredible story of a man who was on the edge of death, and they were going to turn off his life support. And then his family absolutely insisted that they give him vitamin C. And it's the incredible story of how this man, who was on the edge of death, recovered. And it's a whole story all about vitamin C. So listen to this audio, but I urge you to also watch the video that comes after this, because you're going to even see some interviews with Linus Pauling. Now, one thing that strikes me as a reason why vitamin C isn't big in medicine is because it's so simple, cheap, and cost-effective. This reminds me of many things that I observed in my career in software. I observed how if you really want to make money, you need to have a product that's got lots of problems, a product that doesn't solve the problem properly. That when you are doing something like writing software or you do some other kind of work where you are producing a product, if your product is too good, then you can't make money out of it. Because in order to make money, you need to have people coming back to you again and again. Whereas if you solve a problem first time, then there's no need for people to come back to you. And it appears to me that what is happening in the medical industry are these big pharmacy companies, they need to continuously be pumping out and shipping out drugs and various products. Whereas if the actual solution is simple, then there's very little need for all this other sophisticated stuff that they're doing, but which might be much more ineffective. And this really plays into the issue of the inefficiencies of capitalism. I was brought up to believe, and I firmly believed, that capitalism is the most efficient system, until I began to observe in software and in my career how companies and departments and human politics can take something, and instead of somebody getting a solution that is cost-effective and quick and simple, they get a solution that costs a lot of money, continuously needs money and resources poured into it, and then they claim that this is success, that success is determined not by solving the problem quickly and cheaply, but by making a big issue out of what is actually a much simpler problem. And the more I observe capitalism, the more and more examples I'm coming across of the fact that capitalism can be very inefficient, especially if the only motive or the most important motive is profit. The moment the motive becomes profit and only profit, then this thing doesn't function the way it should, and it actually becomes very inefficient. So it could easily be that the medical industry is unnecessarily bloated and contains many people who are working in it, when in fact it could be quite a bit smaller and much more effective and more affordable. Whereas if you look around the world nowadays, you'll see that medical care is almost unaffordable and everybody's got to have it. And maybe that is due to the inefficiencies of the profit system in the medical industry, but especially in the pharmaceutical industry. And other people have remarked on exactly the same thing, that a very simple substance with almost no known side effects could maybe solve so many problems, that there might be many illnesses that people have that are due in one way or another simply to a deficiency of vitamin C. Or if you have it and you've got a virus in your body, the vitamin C will kill it. And it might even kill some types of cancers. So, let me leave it at that. Listen to the audio and don't miss the video that I'll do afterwards, because it's going to blow your mind. There you're going to see people talking about actual things that they've seen and experienced and experimented with. And then also you'll see the extreme pushback from the medical industry. They are not keen on this thing at all. In fact, it appears that many doctors can't even believe or conceive of these benefits, but they are pretty well documented. So here is Lorraine C. Abbey's article, The Gift of Vitamin C.
The Gift of Vitamin C, Lorraine C. Abbey, RN, C.N.S.1. Introduction. The British government-sponsored Food Standards Agency warns that vitamin and mineral supplement users should confine vitamin C intake to no more than 1,000 mg daily in order to assure a safe upper level and to avoid symptoms such as intestinal gas and diarrhea. The implication of this upper limit for safety warning is that we could damage or poison ourselves with anything above the stated safe dose. Nothing could be further from the truth. Their recommendations are arrived at by eliminating any dosage at which anyone ever reported, including anecdotally, any problematic symptoms while they were taking a vitamin or mineral. This is like saying, if a person dies of a heart attack while wearing shoes, the heart attack was caused by the shoes. I'm tired of being warned about the so-called dangers of vitamins, while pharmaceutical manufacturers and advertisers continue to encourage us to take medications to treat everything from bad moods, to acid indigestion, to sexual difficulties, despite long lists of serious possible side effects from these same drugs. Have you ever wondered why there is no government-sponsored agency issuing warnings regarding our heavy cultural reliance on pharmaceuticals with their serious and well-documented side effects? Why aren't government-sponsored groups studying the reasons our population suffers from so many conditions requiring pharmaceuticals? What credibility is there in the Say No to Drugs campaign when everyone knows it's really Say Yes to Drugs as long as they're produced by pharmaceutical companies? We are asked to be fearful of how we might harm ourselves with vitamin C, when the reality is that vitamin C is X1.P.O. Box 828, P.T. Pleasant, New Jersey, 08742. Email, mayorvivo@aol.com. Treemly safe, as attested to by extensive research 1-4, much of which was documented by Hoffman LaRoche researchers Adrian Van Dyke and Lawrence Mucklin, and by voluminous documented LD50 safety data testing. Furthermore, the safety is attested to by the experience of a large group of orthomolecular health practitioners utilizing massive doses with each of their thousands of patients. Safety information data sheets conclude that vitamin C is very safe even in enormous doses in animal experiments, and that it is not mutagenic or teratogenic. Toxic Substance Division, Department of the Environment, Roche Products Ltd. The truth is, vitamin C has the potential to vastly improve all kinds of chronic health problems and could actually save your life or the life of someone you love. Access to this miraculous substance must not be limited by false and misleading information. Special interests subtly manipulate people to create irrational fears about nutritional supplements. These same special interests have been lulling the public into becoming irrationally comfortable taking drug after drug to suppress the symptoms of all sorts of health problems. I'd like humbly to add my voice in support of the many vitamin C pioneers who collectively have already proven both its safety and its efficacy in a wide range of conditions and circumstances. During my 16 years of private practice as an orthomolecular nurse nutritionist, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily was the starting recommendation for my thousands of patients and for my 3-year-old son. In all those thousands of people, I'm unaware of any noteworthy negative reactions. I think the medical underuse and promotion of fear of vitamin C ranks along with the underuse and fear tactics previously directed at folic acid. For years we were warned not to use high doses of folic 187 Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine Volume 18, NOS 3 and 4, 2003 acid despite growing evidence that neural tube defects might result from insufficient folate intake. How sad for the thousands of children born with spina bifida which resulted from fear of recommending a few pennies per day of non-toxic folic acid. How hollow is the phrase, above all, do no harm when the harm is seen in those occupying thousands of wheelchairs around the country. Are we destined to keep repeating mistakes? I'd like to share my professional and personal experience with vitamin C, including the use of large doses both orally and intravenously, as well as looking at some history regarding the clinical use of high-dose vitamin C. Personal experience in January, 2003, I developed a sinus and upper respiratory infection that wouldn't clear up despite 4 rounds of different antibiotics to which I was developing reactions such as progressively worsening headaches. I'd been prone to such infections, having had bronchitis 1 to 3 times per year for many years. However, I was becoming increasingly resistant to antibiotics and was fearful that I was running out of effective treatment for these recurring infections. Around the same time, I learned of a young girl who had apparently developed viral encephalitis that turned her into a vegetative cripple after her acute febrile symptoms resolved. My illness and that little girl's deterioration reminded me of the work of one of the now deceased vitamin C pioneer, Dr. Fred Klenner, a Duke University graduate and practicing physician from Reidsville, North Carolina. Klenner was the first physician to use massive doses of vitamin C to cure many serious and life-threatening conditions including viral encephalitis, polio, meningitis, and poisonings. 5-8 After rereading Klenner's and McCormick's 9 published work, followed by some of Robert Cathcart's papers 10-12 particularly his papers on titrating vitamin C to bowel tolerance 10-11 I was reinforced to utilize bowel tolerance doses of vitamin C in the hopes of clearing my current respiratory problems. Years earlier after my first exposure to the writings of Klenner, Stone, McCormick, Cathcart, Pauling, etal., I recovered from influenza, from which I was very sick, within about a day and a half during which time I consumed, by mouth, 120,000 milligrams or 120 grams of vitamin C per 24-hour period. I had no problem from that dose except that when my flu symptoms disappeared faster than my tapering of the vitamin C dosage, I experienced gas and diarrhea, a small price to pay for getting rid of the flu. The gas and diarrhea is transitory and is the basis for the papers by Cathcart, The Method of Determining Proper Doses of Vitamin C for the Treatment of Disease by Titrating to Bowel Tolerance 10 and Vitamin C, Titrating to Bowel Tolerance, Anascorbemia, and Acute Induced Scurvy 11 The gas and diarrhea produced by oral vitamin C are not toxicity symptoms, and do not occur when vitamin C is given parenterally. Intravenous doses as high as 700 mg/kg/24 hours have been administered with no problems and great benefit. 7-8 Cathcart writes that he has safely prescribed doses of ascorbic acid up to 200 or more grams per 24 hours to over 20,000 patients during a 23-year period in his practice. 12 Evidence of safety and efficacy Klenner stated, ascorbic acid is the safest and the most valuable substance available to the physician. Many headaches and many heartaches will be avoided with its proper use. 5 I'd like to echo Klenner and add that it is also one of the least expensive substances. Commenting on the safety of vitamin C and particularly the sodium ascorbate form that he used intravenously Klenner, I've used over 200,000 ampoules, 50,000 vials, and millions of 500 milligrams tablets of vitamin C and 188. The gift of vitamin C. The only complication I've ever seen is diarrhea and gas. I remember a patient with a malignancy taking 10,000 grams of sodium ascorbate over 6 months or 57,000 milligrams daily, and his blood sodium was low at one point. These are direct quotes taken from my audio cassette tape of Klenner at a talk that he gave at the 20th Annual Symposium of the International College of Applied Nutrition, ICON, in Los Angeles. So what exactly did Klenner do with all those ampoules, vials, and pills? Using megadose vitamin C, he treated viral encephalitis. Remember the young girl? Comparing his results with other published work, their results without vitamin C, some recovered, some died, and still others lived as vegetative mental cripples. All of our patients recovered. In the poliomyelitis epidemic in North Carolina in 1948, 60 cases of this disease came under our care. The treatment employed was vitamin C in massive doses. It was given like any other antibiotic every 2 to 4 hours. The initial dose was 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams, depending on age. Children up to 4 years received the injections intramuscularly. All patients were clinically well after 72 hours. One single injection of ascorbic acid calculated at 500 mg/kg of body weight will reverse heat stroke. Observations made on over 300 consecutive obstetrical cases using supplemental ascorbic acid, by mouth, convinced me that failure to use this agent in sufficient amounts in pregnancy borders on malpractice. The lowest amount of ascorbic acid used was 4 grams and the highest amount 15 grams each day. Klenner continues, labor was shorter and less painful. There were no postpartum hemorrhages. No patient required catheterization. No toxic manifestations were demonstrated in the series. There was no cardiac stress, even though 22 patients of the series had rheumatic hearts. Leg cramps were less than 3%. Infants born under massive ascorbic acid therapy were all robust. Not a single case required resuscitation. We experienced no feeding problems. Klenner also remarked that he recommends 1,000 mg of vitamin C for every year of age up to 10,000 mg. He added, 10 grams is the lowest amount adults should take for a normal use. In 1949, Klenner wrote that the single most important determinant of positive results from vitamin C is the size of the dose and the frequency of its administration. Cathcart has clearly echoed this statement in his extensive work with massive dose vitamin C. Klenner says that out of thousands of virus colds treated, vitamin C always works if you go high enough. Pauling on colds, my recommendation is not 1 gram a day, or 2 grams a day of vitamin C, but at the first sign of a cold, take a gram of vitamin C or 2 grams, and then an hour later, if the symptoms still exist, if you're still sneezing, or your nose is running or feel shiver, take another 1 or 2 grams of vitamin C. Keep doing that until you forget, because the symptoms have gone away, and this will stop a cold in almost every person who follows the regimen. 13. Pauling's comment on vitamin toxicity. Conventional medical practice relies heavily on drugs, all of which essentially are toxic substances. It's hard for me to think of an example of a drug that is like the vitamins in having nearly zero toxicity. Aspirin's LD50 is quite low, and contrast this with vitamin C, in which the LD50 is virtually unattainable since it is so high. What they did not do was to ask this question: here is a substance which has no known toxicity. Is there a possibility that very large doses of vitamin C and the B vitamins and vitamin A, beta carotene and vitamin E, would have much additional value in improving the health of the people? I looked in the medical and nutritional literature to find out how much. 6189 Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine Volume 18, NOS 3 and 4, 2003 Taman C. A person should take in order to be in the best health, perhaps to control diseases other than scurvy. I couldn't find anything. For 25 years Pauling looked for the answer to how much of these very powerful and important substances should we take to be in the best of health. I believe Cathcart has supplied the answer to the optimal oral dose of vitamin C, the bowel tolerance level. he noted that the sicker a patient was, the more ascorbic acid he would tolerate by mouth before diarrhea was produced. At least 80% of adult patients will tolerate 10 to 15 grams of ascorbic acid fine crystals in 1/2 cup of water in 4 divided doses per 24 hours without having diarrhea. 10 for my respiratory infection in January 2003. I began my self-treatment by gradually increasing my dosage of vitamin C from my usual 1,000 to 3,000 milligrams per day up to 3,000-4,000 mg per dose, initially taking it about 4 times daily, around 16,000 milligrams per day. This failed to produce diarrhea, so I began to increase both the dosage and the frequency, finally getting up to between 60,000 and 120,000 milligrams per day, or approximately 7,500 to 15,000 milligrams 8 times daily, every 3 hours around the clock. These numbers are not typographical errors. I am talking about 60 to 120 grams taken by mouth daily. I noticed that as soon as I reached the diarrhea point, my respiratory symptoms seemed to be gone, and so too were my fibromyalgia symptoms that I'd had for a couple of years and for which I had often taken various anti-inflammatory drugs. I also noticed that my gradually increasing need for sleep was drastically reduced, while my energy level increased. Some individuals, unfamiliar with such dosages, will be frightened by these numbers, fearing death or bodily harm. Others may become overwhelmed, imagining the insanity of swallowing of 120 pills of 1,000 milligrams per day. The mechanical problems are easily overcome by the use of vitamin C in powdered form. Pure ascorbic acid powder provides 5,000 milligrams per teaspoon, while a non-acidic form of vitamin C, sodium ascorbate, provides 4,448 milligrams of vitamin C per teaspoon. Other forms of C powder are rendered non-acidic by buffering with calcium, magnesium, zinc, and potassium. Typically, the latter provide about 2,600 milligrams of vitamin C, 350 milligrams of calcium, 350 milligrams of magnesium, 100 milligrams of potassium, and 6 milligrams of zinc per teaspoon. 1,500, 1,500 mg tablets are available and convenient for certain times. For individuals who wish to utilize high-dose vitamin C therapy, I recommend having all of the above on hand, as this makes the achievement of sufficiently high intake both easy and palatable. For example, sodium ascorbate is very palatable in low-sodium V8 juice, tomato juice, and in milk or soy drinks or shakes. The ascorbic acid form works very well in all kinds of fruit juice, apple, orange, grapefruit, grape, pineapple, as well as tomato or V8. When you're trying to use very high doses, your palate may get very tired of the same flavors. Some individuals may find they have difficulty with one form or another as a result of the acidity of ascorbic acid or the saltiness of the sodium ascorbate. Note that Klenner states that the sodium ion does not act the same as in sodium chloride, in that it does not raise the blood pressure, nor does it raise blood sodium levels. I don't recommend taking more than 2 or 3 teaspoons of calcium/magnesium buffered vitamin C per day, as more will bring in too much of these minerals, but taking some in this form is of benefit. For the same reason, Klenner advised not to use calcium ascorbate in infusions, as the patient would be getting too many calcium ions, although he added 1 gram of calcium gluconate to 50 gram ascorbate infusions in 500 cubic centimeters of normal saline or dextrose in water decanted to accommodate the vitamin C. Klenner stated this mixture could then be infused in 1 hour at 120-190. The gift of vitamin C drops per minute. The vitamin C chelates calcium ions that could result in tetany if rapidly infused without calcium. Another convenient idea for the oral dosing is to put enough of the vitamin C for multiple doses in a container of water, milk, or juice, so you can drink one dose each hour or two. Every 5 to 6 ounces of liquid can take 2 teaspoons of vitamin C, 10,000 milligrams, 20 to 24 ounces could contain 40,000 milligrams, 8 teaspoons of ascorbic acid powder. This way you can drink a little hourly. The sicker you are, or the more serious your health problem, the more frequently you should take your doses. Be sure to write down how much vitamin C was put in whatever volume of water, juice, or milk in order to keep track of the dosage and the response so you can adjust it according to the reduction of symptoms and for the minimizing of diarrhea. If your symptoms haven't reduced in intensity and you haven't been getting diarrhea, you're not taking the optimal amount for your body at that moment. Be sure to consume plenty of liquid by also drinking water in addition to vitamin C drink. When you consume your optimal dose, you will notice a marked improvement in your symptoms. After a while, I realized that if I took a dose of vitamin C and didn't notice a sharp reduction of symptoms, it meant I'd underdosed. I've subsequently discovered vitamin C can be used to reduce or eliminate many different kinds of symptoms when you get the dose up high enough and keep it just below the diarrhea point. In addition to my current respiratory illness, I had been suffering for the previous 2 years with what was ultimately diagnosed as fibromyalgia. I had experimented with every and any nutrient that I thought might impact upon this with little result. Much to my chagrin, I wound up taking Vioxx on a somewhat regular basis. When using the massive doses of vitamin C for the respiratory problem, I note that there had been a marked reduction of my fibromyalgia symptoms, virtually eliminating the need for Vioxx. The vitamin C did not cure the fibromyalgia. In order to sustain the benefit, I must remain on very high dose vitamin C. Since I've also noticed a great improvement in my energy, and a sharp reduction in my previously increasing need for sleep, I'm happy to continue with very high dose vitamin C for this mysterious syndrome. As a result of feeling so improved from an opti dose, I sometimes forget to keep up the frequency and then the symptoms return as my reminder. I've also found that there was a somewhat narrow window in which vitamin C could be used in this way to treat infections. If the dose was too low, no results; if the dose was too high, diarrhea. Like in the story of the three bears, it had to be just right. To fully recover, I had to remain on a minimum of 60,000 milligrams daily for about 2 months before I was able to gradually taper down the doses without getting a reoccurrence of bronchitis and sinusitis symptoms. The key to success for me in treating my infection seemed to be keeping the dose of the vitamin high enough while my body gradually healed itself. Stopping the vitamin suddenly at the first sign of improvement simply didn't work. I found it is necessary to remain at the same dose that improved or eliminated symptoms until that new lower dose causes diarrhea. I could then drop the dose successfully and remain at the new level at which symptoms were controlled without diarrhea. Cathcart refers to this as the burn or the rate at which the body is using vitamin C. Generally, the greater the burn, the sicker the person, although some individuals may exhibit what appears to be vitamin C intolerance at comparatively low intakes as a result of gastrointestinal or metabolic problems and may try to gradually raise their bowel tolerance by using vitamin C at low but gradually increasing doses. This 191 Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine Volume 18, NOS 3 and 4, 2003 method may eliminate their vitamin C intolerance as the vitamin gradually aids in the correction of their metabolic lesions. Some individuals may be more tolerant of one form of the vitamin than another, such as the non-acidic sodium ascorbate. A few comments and precautions when first experimenting with high-dose vitamin C: 1. Use pure pharmaceutical-grade vitamin C without additives. There are many good products. 2. Start high-dose vitamin C gradually to give your system time to adjust and see how you will react. In an unhealthy gut, very high doses of oral vitamin C taken suddenly may produce a large amount of gas and can occasionally result in severe gas pains. Lowering the dose and gradually raising it again should solve the problem. Be sure to consume plenty of fluids prior to, and during, the use of vitamin C to avoid dehydration. 3. I suggest that when the vitamin is used intravenously, it's best not to add other nutrients with their preservatives to the 4 until you've tried very high dose vitamin C by itself. Mild adverse symptoms like lightheadedness or nausea are sometimes reported when vitamin C is combined with mixtures of other nutrients that contain preservatives. According to Klenner and Cathcart, this does not occur with straight 100% sodium ascorbate preservative-free infusions. 4. Both oral and 4 vitamin C offer extremely exciting potential in the treatment of cancer patients. Hugh Reardon's website offers a must-read summary of his experience using 4-ascorbic acid with cancer patients. He concludes that, tumor cells are more susceptible to the effects of high-dose, ascorbate-induced peroxidation products because of a relative catalase deficiency, and that concentrations of ascorbate high enough to kill tumor cells likely can be achieved in humans. 14.5. While Reardon acknowledges that side effects are rare, he notes that there are some precautions to be applied in treating such patients. Contraindications include kidney failure, dialysis patients, and some forms of iron overload. There is a very rare genetic abnormality common to certain ethnic groups, red cell glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase, G6PD, deficiency that can result in hemolysis of red blood cells following high-dose intravenous vitamin C. Reardon recommends testing for this abnormality prior to starting infusions with vitamin C. To my knowledge, none of the other massive dose 4 vitamin C pioneers had ever reported this problem. 6.4 Further information on cancer and vitamin C, I refer the reader to Reardon's papers detailed on his website at www.brightspot.org and Dr. Abram Hoffer's work at www.islandnet.com/Hoffer or www.dryourself.com. Reardon is probably the world expert in treatment of cancer patients with very high dose vitamin C. 13 Conclusion: Will vitamin C in very high doses kill you? No. MSDS, Material Safety Data Sheets, and thousands upon thousands of patients attest to this. I'm still here, writing this article. Will it cause permanent diarrhea or toxic damage to the bowel? No. All bowel symptoms produced by vitamin C will disappear by lowering the dose or discontinuing it. Will it cause kidney stones? No. It will raise oxalic acid levels in certain susceptible people, but it does not precipitate into stone formation. Rats given 20,000 mg of vitamin C per kg, exhibited increased oxalate production, but it had no effect on calcification. The rats were healthy and vigorous. Reardon also notes that two groups of researchers have demonstrated that giving vitamin B6 and magnesium in sufficient quantity to oxalic acid stone formers will reduce oxalic acid excretion and generally prevent the formation of such stones in that subset of people. 14 Will it cause blindness, deafness, and rotting of teeth? No, but government agencies spurred by special interests seem to be 192 the gift of vitamin C trying to figure out how to make it so. Slander does not need high intelligence. I have found the writings of these courageous vitamin C pioneers extremely exciting and very comforting. Hopefully, these words will encourage you to experiment with high-dose vitamin C for yourself, your family and your patients, and will fortify you to stand up to any further or future attacks upon this miraculous substance, vitamin C.
These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.